You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you save your marriage, not just save it, but transform it into a marriage that you would love for years to come. And it doesn't matter where your relationship is. It may be that your marriage is on the edge of disaster, verging on divorce, or it could be that you're even considering marriage and trying to figure out how to save your marriage even before you start. Either way, I'm here to help you do that by giving you some background information, some techniques, some ways of thinking through the process, some ways of creating a plan if you're in a crisis point, and some ways of avoiding the problems if you're not there. And today I want to talk about something that I think we all can relate to. The fact that we are not as unified a person as we'd like to be. The other day I was watching in a store and I saw this woman who was making just kind of a hysterical case of herself with a manager, making demands that were unfair, making accusations that made no sense, and erupting in tears, threatening lawsuits, all kinds of irrational behavior, all because that they had mischarged her 25 cents on something that she had purchased. All of this outrage on something that actually made no sense. It was a quarter, and I watched her, and by the time I left the store, probably a half hour later, she was still dealing with the manager. It made no sense. And you may wonder, why, if it doesn't make sense, would we rational people be involved in such behavior? Well, because there's a little secret you may not recognize. And that is that there are actually different parts in your mind, in your brain, and those different parts are pulling you in different directions. In fact, in some ways, your brain is at war with itself. And the reason is because your brain is a very ancient piece, an ancient mechanism that's really built up of three different brains. And those three different brains have very different desires and needs and desired outcomes. And so because of that, there's a war going on. In fact, the two most primitive part of the brains are almost at opposite ends of what they are trying to accomplish. So let's talk for a minute about this idea of those three brains. It's an old idea that actually was proposed long ago and then verified by anatomy that there are three distinct sections to your brain. The first one we might call the reptilian brain, or a little more poetically, the crocodile in your head. And that part of the brain is all about survival. That's what that part of the brain is trying to do, is make sure that you're safe. So it's always looking for threats, and it's always looking for ways of making sure the basic needs of food and safety, shelter, and staying warm are met. And that's all that brain cares about. This is the part of the brain that we share with pretty much anything that wiggles and swims and flies that is on this planet. And the reason that we call it the reptilian brain is because that is the most primitive place it happens. And so you see it in snakes and other reptiles particularly. And you'll notice that those snakes, those reptiles, really don't have a lot of emotion. I've told this story before, but, you know, when I was a boy, I was at camp. My parents had sent me to this fairly rustic camp. And one night at that camp, there was a little commotion going on outside of my tent. One of the camp counselors had found himself on the path that divided him between us and where he was, by a rattlesnake. And that rattlesnake was pretty upset that he was coming up on him. And so it took both camp counselors to capture that snake and put him in the cage down in the main area. And I remember the next day we were all looking at the snake, who was not quite happy about being in that cage. And I say that, not quite happy, assuming that there was emotion there. And that's the thing, there wasn't. The reptile was looking to be free. The reptile was trying to get away. That snake was captured, and that was a threat to that snake. But what was more of a threat was the way we were teasing the snake. I would walk towards a snake, and as I did, the little of those that little rattle would get a little louder. The closer I got, the louder it got. When I walked away, it went down. When I got to a certain level where the snake felt safe, it didn't even shake the rattle. And I remember that lesson because that snake wasn't angry at me. That snake didn't care about me. That snake wasn't after me. That snake was just trying to assess the risk. That's the reptilian brain. It's all about risk assessment, looking for what possible threats there are in the environment and trying to stay clear of it. Then there's another part of the brain, the limbic brain or the mammalian brain. Another way, more poetically, you might call it the pack or the herd part of your brain, the herd brain that likes to be connected, the pack brain that likes to be in a group. And that part of the brain is all about trying to be connected, and the connection is what brings some safety for that part of the brain. So while the reptilian brain doesn't need that connection with other reptiles, while the crocodile can do just fine on its own or the snake on its own, when you get to the limbic or the mammalian brain, because we share that with the warm-blooded creatures, they tend to more like that pack, the herd, to stay together in the group, and the safety feels like it comes from that connection. So that part of the brain that we share with all the warm-blooded creatures, you'll notice that those are the ones that tend to have a lot of connection. Now, it's also partly true with birds, but birds do that flocking more out of just safety, not because they like each other or have affinity, at least as far as we can tell, as much as the mammalian. You know, you look at a dog and you can tell a dog has an affinity for you. You know, the dog likes you or the dog doesn't like you. And either way, there is this place of emotion to it. That's what the limbic system brought in for all of biology is emotions. The feelings, because feelings are what lead to connection, right? If you don't have feelings, emotions, you don't feel that connection with somebody. It's not the threat, because remember, there's no emotion to that threat. So when you walk up on that snake, there's no emotion. The snake's not going to get angry. The snake's only going to assess, can I take care of you, or are you going to take care of me and I need to get away? It's the fight or flight mechanism that's in that reptilian part. The mammalian part is, how can we be together? How can we connect together and work together? And how can we have an affinity for each other? And then there's another part of the brain, the neocortex. Now, the neocortex is what we're most proud of. That neocortex is the part of the brain that is about rationality and reasoning and thinking through and language and all the parts that we hold up as highly human. Now, that part of the brain can exist in other animals, other mammals, but it's not as developed as it is in humans, because we have this word usage. We can think through things. We can remember the past. We can think about the future because of that word usage. And so we humans like to think that that's our big part of the brain, because that's the part of the brain that we think we hear most often. Those are the voices in your head that have words, not just pictures. The problem is that neocortex is really trying to reason with two very irrational, unreasonable parts of the brain, and those two parts of the brain really kind of are at war with each other. One wants connection and the other wants protection, and they can begin to coalesce against each other and fight against each other. But sometimes they are even kind of working to try to figure something out. For instance, let's say you meet somebody and you're interested in them. Think back on that time when you met that important person, and you're interested in them, and there are three parts of your brain going at one time. There's a part, the neocortex, that may be going, you know, does this person fit into where I'm trying to head in life? Does this person kind of further where I want to get to? Do I want to take them along this part of life? And so you're using this rational part, thinking about their education level and thinking about where they came from and thinking through all those pieces that we think that we consider most strongly when we're looking at a mate, at another person. Those parts of the other person that are interesting to us. Oh, you know, we went to the same school, and so therefore we kind of share an educational level, and maybe the family came from a good place, and so we begin to use all these assessment tools of what would it be like to be connected with this person, the rational, reasonable parts of that. Then there's another part that just says, you know, I want to be with this person, or I don't want to be with this person. I want to kind of connect with them or not connect with them. That's the part of that next one down. How would they be as a family? How would that person be in connection with me as my mate? And then there's another part of the brain that's going, I want to have sex with this person, or I don't want to have sex with this person. That's the reptilian part. And notice that all three of those are having those thoughts simultaneously, and you're trying to go through all those at the same time. Sometimes they get us into a bit of trouble. You can hear these three brains talking in many events. For instance, when there's a threat or an argument, sometimes you'll notice that when you're in the midst of an argument, there's a part of your head that's going, why am I even having this discussion? I don't really care about this. The problem is the reptilian brain has then engaged, and that reptilian brain doesn't want to stop until it either has to run, flight, or it wants to stay and fight. And so that fight-flight mode is happening, you can see it acting out, while the rational part of the brain is going, why am I doing this? Or maybe you're having a fight with a spouse and you know that it's tearing down the relationship, and there's a part of you going, why am I doing this? And yet your mouth stays engaged and keeps on going, because there are these multi-levels that are all trying to discuss things. Or how about this? You're sitting there at night and you notice that piece of cake sitting on the counter, and that you just feel like you want to have it. And there's part of your brain that begins to have a conversation. No, I don't need that cake. I've had too much food already. I've had too many sweets. I'm trying to avoid grains. Now, that voice can take on lots of different words, but it's all having a discussion on whether it would be okay to have that piece of cake or not. You know, there may be a part that says, you know, I don't really want that cake, but my mom made it, and I don't want to hurt her feelings, and I want to be kind of connected with them. Or, wow, everybody's eating that cake, so I'd like to join in with them. And what you notice is those two voices can be very difficult to argue with, that they can kind of sabotage our plans, because our neocortex is trying hard to rein in these two parts of the brain that are much more old and stronger than the neocortex, because survival is way more important. Remember, long ago when there was a survival issue, you didn't need your brain thinking as much as your body reacting. And the neocortex is about thinking and processing, and the rest of the brain is about reacting, right? And so there is this place where the neocortex is trying hard to rein in those parts of the brain, but they are already on their own way. And so there you are, trying to argue with yourself that you ought not to eat that cake, that you don't need those extra calories, that you don't need the grain, you don't need the sugar. I mean, there are lots of ways that it can happen. I know, because I feel it in myself. You know, there's some chocolate on the counter left over from Easter, and so what do? I argue with myself that I don't really need it. But eventually, if I'm not careful, I'm going to eat it, and I might not even think about it. I might just reach over and plop it in my mouth and then go, what have I done? I just ate some chocolate I said I wasn't going to eat. Because that primitive part of the brain is trying to find a way to get to what that primitive part of the brain wants, whether it's about survival, about getting the food it thinks it needs or it has available to it, or about connection, about furthering the relationship with somebody. And either way, they're arguing hard to try to get what they want, while the neocortex is trying to make a rational, reasonable, logical discussion. It doesn't work. So there it is. The neocortex is trying to mediate between two deep-seated systems. Think of it as the crocodile and the herd. The crocodile is trying to protect itself, trying to be careful, trying to avoid. And notice the protect itself is the primary function of the crocodile, not protect its family, but protect itself. The herd is about connection, because protection in the herd comes from that connection, from having a knowing that you can rely on each other. The crocodile is all about attack, right? It's either going to fight or flight, and either one's really about attack. It's whether it's being attacked or it's going to attack. It's all about attack. But the herd is about loyalty, about being there for each other. The crocodile is about survival, at all costs, survival, while the herd is more about those rules that are out there, that the rules that kind of make sure that we're all going in the same direction. The crocodile says, I want what I want, while the herd is saying, let's cooperate together to get where we need to get to. Notice how those tend to be at odds, while the neocortex, there it is, the neocortex trying to be rational, trying to make sense of what's going on around it. But by making sense of what's going on around it, sometimes the neocortex can be very conning. It uses conning techniques. It's going to con someone out of what it wants to kind of not disrupt the herd, but to get to those survival needs. Or a lot of scheming, you know, and that scheming and those levels of trying to get around those two pieces and rationalizing these issues, trying to get what it wants when it wants it. And it has to deal with all those drives and all of those desires that are coming from the crocodile and the herd. And so there's that thinking brain trying to figure out what to do. The neocortex is stuck between these warring parts, protection versus connection, safety versus intimacy. You notice how sometimes intimacy can feel like a threat, right? And so we have the safety versus intimacy. How many times have you heard somebody say, or said yourself, I can't get involved again because I might get hurt. There's the safety versus the intimacy question. The competition versus cooperation. Do I go after what I want or do I cooperate with those around me? All that's going on in the neocortex is trying to figure out what to do. So that brings us to this place of realization that in you, as you're trying to deal with the relationship, there are really three parts of the brain that are trying to deal with all that, and it's important to know and hear those different levels of the brain. So if you want more help with this, this is the cool thing, is I've actually created some training in the virtual coaching program, and that virtual coaching program is really a great way of not just getting the training, but also kind of saying, what about this? How do I work through this? And getting some feedback on that. So if you're sitting there going, wow, you know what? My brain really has been at war. My brain really has been getting me in trouble, and I keep kind of getting into these self-defeating places where it really is those two pieces of the brain, let's talk about how you create that plan, how you find a better way of doing that. Let's talk about how you can step forward with that and learn to recognize those voices, not just learn to recognize the voices, but to manage the anxiety that can come from that as you begin to think through that. If you're interested in the virtual coaching program and getting that further training and figuring out how to step into that, just send me an email at lee@savethemarriage.com, lee@savethemarriage.com. Or you can look at it yourself by going to savethemarriage.com/virtual coaching. That's savethemarriage.com/virtual coaching. Now, I will tell you this. In order to qualify to get into the virtual coaching program, you do want the Save the Marriage system. You do want to have that information under your belt before you step into that, because that's going to give you kind of a huge leap forward and how you understand what you're trying to get to and how you understand what our goal is here. And then you begin to plug in those pieces with the virtual coaching program. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you begin to understand those voices in your head are really from different places, different goals, but all trying to get to the same place of feeling safe and feeling connected. I wish you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.